And this morning, I felt like the Lord wanted us to revisit some of those moments in our lives where He has graced us with His favor, His healing, His kindness. We forget sometimes, and we get wrapped up in the atmospheric pressure, don't we?
That's right.
Sandy and I were coming here this morning, and we were saying we want this to be a day of rest, a day of peace, a day of grace, a day of joy.
Amen.
And I do have a word to bring, but I want you to close your eyes for one moment, just one moment. And remember the goodness of God over your life. Those moments where He encountered you, those moments where He refreshed you, those moments where He healed you, where He spoke the words to you, where He met with you. Don't ever forget the kindness of God.
Amen.
So, Father, right now, God, I just bless these people with an ongoing lifestyle of revisiting the goodness of God. God, the sustenance in that, the keeping power, the grace to maintain our race in difficult times will be marked by our remembrance of your loving kindness. Let us never forget your loving kindness. And it took me to a picture of a battlefield in World War I. There was a movie, I don't know if some of you saw it, 1917.
Yeah.
It was horrific killing. There was horrific devastation. And I wonder, in the midst of all of that, if there were believers that were thanking God for protection, for their armor that they were wearing, for the fact that they had a family back home that loved them, that they could go back to.
Amen.
So in our darkest seasons, our sustaining power will be always remembering the goodness of God.
Amen.
And that was just an opening thing. I'm just going to speak from my heart for a moment.
Yeah.
If you think about this, it has been an absolute honor to be born in this time, that we have been trained for decades for this moment.
That's right.
We are warriors in the harvest time. We are warriors in conflict. We are to tend to our gates, and we can do so because we have been prepared for decades. I was sharing with Abner last week, I said, it really is an honor that we can stand on the earth in this time. Isn't it? It is an honor. And if you will keep that in the forefront of your mind, no matter what happens, there's a lot on the horizon, but we have been prepared for all of it. And through it all, we will remember the goodness of God.
Amen.
So I just want to start a little bit of my journey as a believer. I was saved in 1979 in an Amway meeting upstate New York. Yes, Amway. And I was thrust into a lifestyle after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit that year of being schooled by the Spirit. There were no mentors for me. There was a lot of Bible teaching in the 70s and 80s. There were zeal and revival gatherings. We had it all. But when I would go home, I would have dreams. I would have encounters with the enemy. I would have encounters with God. I was trying to figure out who was who. And from early on, He took me on a journey of being schooled in the Spirit. And it has been an ongoing schooling. And I realize now, in 2019 and 2020... how significant that those lessons were that I am still learning about being led by the Spirit. And your power in the days and the months and the years ahead will be your ability to discern the voice of God. Everything will boil down to being led by the Spirit. Romans 8, you can study that when you go home. I didn't look up those verses today because I had no idea I was going to talk about this for now. But how we distinguish the movement, the wind of His Spirit, will keep us safe and it will keep us centered in His will. Just as Pastor John was saying the other day, he had no idea where he was going to be on Wednesday. The last place I would ever want to be in the earth was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th with a million and a half people, because I like being alone and I like isolation and I don't like crowds and I like quiet and I like calm. And yet I discerned that I should go. It defied my logic. But I recognized the movement of the wind the few days before, and God was opening up a way for me to be there that I would have been a fool to put natural reasoning into place and refuse to go because of my fear of, not fear of crowds, but I get very out of joint with crowds of people. I come from New York. I lived in crowds, but I also lived upstate New York, and I really prefer the rural life. I said to Sandy, I want to move to Virginia. And though I live in North Carolina, I prefer quiet. And yet, there we were in the midst of it, somewhat. And I'll tell you what happened. This all goes back to how God wants you to interpret the signs of the times. All goes back to how God wants to increase your level of discernment and how He wants to school you in the navigation of how He moves in the Spirit. Amen. Because everything will depend on that in the days ahead. You know, we got away with a lot these past few years. We were real, real happy with glory meetings. We were real, real happy with feathers and angels visitation and praise parties. And I believe that that will continue to some degree. But we are not going to camp out there because that's not a warrior lifestyle. Right? So now we've been thrust into this warrior lifestyle and we're not quite comfortable with it, and we want to resist or react. And the worst thing that you can do in this season is to react. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And the plot and the plan of the enemy is to arouse your emotions so that you will react. And see, as you arouse your emotions, you're quenching the voice of God. You're quenching the ability to discern His movement. So be real cautious right now of your conversations. Be real cautious right now of what you allow in your eye gates, what you hear through your ear gates, people that you are around, conversations you are engaged in, because it's all an attempt to arouse up your emotions, right? And so God right now, I think He really wants us to learn how to live in a cave, even though we are in the midst of a populated United States. So create your own cave. Create your own hiding place. And so getting back to the school of the Spirit, the other day we woke up and I went with five friends that for years we had been intercessors together. Now my church, we had three free buses. My instinct or my natural mind would have said, I'll go with my people on the bus. Everybody said, Ruth, you can lead the bus. You go on the bus is free. But had I not discerned what I should do, I would have went on the bus. God didn't want me to go on the bus because when the bus went up there, it parked itself right in front of, it was right in the middle of all that crowd. And when I woke up, we prayed that morning and we said, God, you plant us where you want us to be, because I didn't go there to hear President Trump's speech. I did not go there to hear a worship band. I didn't go there because I wanted to be in the middle of what was happening in the United States or to be on the news. We knew by the Spirit, such as your pastor did, that we were there for intercession and intercession alone. So we went and we were right in front. Right here was the barrier, the gate. We were right here at 8 o'clock in the morning. And like we thought for 5 hours that we were in front of the Capitol. We said, this is amazing. We're in front of the Capitol, and they're here. They're down Washington. I don't know where they are. They're in Washington Mall. We have our front row seats. Well, little did we know until 1 o'clock in the afternoon that we were in the back of the Capitol. We were called to guard the rear guard. Right? And had we been tempted to be with President Trump or to be with the worship teams or to be with who knows who, the Jericho March, people were saying, why don't you come on the Jericho March with us? And most of us would have said, yes, that makes sense. We're here to march. And we would have left our post and joined the crowd. And the three of us said, we're not supposed to go. I said, thank God I didn't want to be on a Jericho march because everybody on that Jericho march, they looked like they were in Halloween costumes. But we never left that place from 8 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was about probably 20 degrees wind chill. And three of the people that came with us brought seats. So we sat on our post. We rested on our post. Amen. We didn't leave our gate. Amen. The people that we had once disliked, which was Starbucks, Starbucks was around the corner, and they were the only place that would serve us. Wow. God will use your enemies to bless you. So we would walk down two blocks to go to Starbucks to get a respite. There was such favor on us because we were in the will of God. The favor of God is in his will. Amen. Everybody was saying, oh, so-and-so had to go to the bathroom in a bush. I'm like, really? I'm glad I went to Starbucks. The porta potties were miles long and they were running out of paper. And I'm like, really? I had a Starbucks. Now, pride, I sense pride was rising up in me. And my friend said, the favor of God is on us. We've got our hot drinks. We've got our bathrooms. We've got a short walk. We can go back. We've got our chairs. We're positioned. We did not move. We heard Trump. Temptation would have been to go around the other side. The only place we left for about 5 minutes was we heard a lady speak. And we looked over and my friend said, I think that's Cindy Jacobs. We walked about 40, 50 yards, and we joined Cindy Jacobs' prayer team, which was only about 20 people, which amazed me. The prayer, the intercession for whatever we were interceding for, was behind the Capitol. So, yes. So the key is he can place you in the middle of all of the confusion. At times he does. But the key is you have to discern if that's your position. See, it's real tempting right now to get caught up in what others are doing and others are saying. I could have gotten caught up with, do I need to apologize? Because personally, I did prophesy that Trump would win the election. And I'm not apologizing yet, though I am willing to do so as the Spirit leads. People are looking to the prophets and they are being disappointed. Why? Because God right now is keeping everybody in position. See, if you depend on what others say, you're not going to cultivate your own hearing skills. And you're going to need your own personal prophetic mantle on the season ahead for yourself because there's a lot of turmoil on the horizon. The body of Christ will recognize if they are discerning the will of God, there will be favor upon you. So let me tell you what happened about 3 o'clock. This all ties into discerning the move of God. Around 3 o'clock, my friend and I, we said, let's go to Starbucks. We wanted a hot drink. Let's go to Starbucks. While we were gone, her daughter texted her and said, you need to come right back. I'm having a panic attack. Chaos is breaking out. Where are my intercessors? And I said, we were right where we were supposed to be, separated. And we got back and we were playing a little game. We said, yes, we were separated unto the Lord himself. But we did not hear it. We did not witness the bombardment of all the people. But one lady walked up and down with a megaphone and she said, if you have small children, stay back because we're getting ready to break through the barriers. So we felt like a lot of that was planned. It was, well, from where we were, a lot of it was planned. So whatever happened that day happened. But we joyfully left at 4 o'clock knowing that we fulfilled the mission. We stayed in our position. We stayed inside our gate. We guarded our gate. So God has assigned all of you a gate. I'm going to talk about gatekeepers in a moment. But the Lord really wants to stress today, and I believe that he really wants to impart your ability to move and walk and accept a greater level of discernment, to understand his voice, his will, his ways. Because sometimes we're waiting on a word, but we're forgetting his ways. Sometimes we want a prophetic word, or we want to hear what the prophets are saying, and we could neglect our own place in the kingdom. Because God has given to us, in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to go over it, a certain sphere of authority. And it's unique to you. It's unique to your ministry. It's unique to you as a person, to your family. And if you get out of your position, God is not required to protect you. Although he does, because he's merciful. But it's only when you're in his will. And see, now we're going to be so streamlined, but we're going to feel so guarded, so protected, so loved, so joyful. Like in the middle of all that, we had hot coffee, right? A clean bathroom, no noise, no people running past us. But if God put you in the middle of that where you didn't have hot coffee and you didn't have, people around, if you were in the middle of all that chaos and you knew that was where you were to be planted that day, it would have been a delight to you.
That's right.
And you would have had joy, because we are always led by the peace of God. We are always led by joy. We are always led by peace and joy, the fruit of the Spirit. And so we have to reduce our walk down to the simplicity of hearing his voice, remembering that the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples was, "My peace I leave to you." And what is being challenged right now in the earthen realm is the opposite of peace. It is to thrust God's people into chaos so they cannot hear. I've been telling people for years, stay away from chaos, stay away from drama, stay away from gossip, stay away from things that will stir up your emotion.
Right?
Because when Eve in the garden, what happened was when they were walking with the Lord in the cool of the day, discerning the breeze, hearing his voice, and they left his will because they partook of the wrong tree. What happened was their emotions became highlighted.
Right.
I'm afraid, I'm ashamed, I'm hiding, I'm naked. So the voice of their soul rang louder than discerning his will, his ways, his voice. So we have got to guard our garden as if your life depended on it. Hold fast to peace. Do not forsake peace. That will be the simplicity of the gospel will be your guard in this season.
Amen.
Let's not get so caught up in doctrinal differences, in which prophet was right, which prophet was wrong. And I must admit, I have put a zipper on my lip right now, for now, because I need to process some things.
Yes.
And some things I don't know. We are so quick to think that we have to know everything that it's okay to say, I don't know. Right now I am processing. And I really believe that we need to allow ourselves time as a church body to rest, to unwind, to process, to regain strength, to revisit being schooled by the Spirit again, right? And you cannot do that when you are caught up in the chaos of the hour.
Right.
So I said this to several people. There are three demonic spirits right now that are working. It's a three demonic cord that is working right now. It's the spirit of Jezebel to get you to despise the prophetic. It's the spirit of Leviathan, which is to confuse conversation, to confuse communication. That's what's happening now on the internet. Leviathan is loosed. And the Antichrist spirit, which hates the believers, which came against your pastor yesterday. The man didn't know he was operating in an Antichrist spirit. We're saying we're against. It's not really the Democrats or the liberals. It's an Antichrist spirit that wants to suppress our voice and our influence in the nation. So the threefold cord, Leviathan, Jezebel, and the Antichrist spirit. But God always has an antidote for all of that. And it's called staying within your sphere of authority, staying within your gates. Before I go into that, I just want to say, I'm just going to share a couple points here. What 2020 was a year of restriction. But 2021, necessary interruptions. So now more than ever, when we are interrupted from our plan, when we're taken by surprise,
right?
We were taken by surprise in February last year when all of a sudden we were locked down.
Right.
Were you ever locked down before?
Right.
Because sometimes there are things that we are not prepared for, so we think.
Right.
But we made the necessary adjustments to let God restrain us. I felt like it was a sequestering of God because we had to revisit who we really are in the spirit, which I knew that I may do a lot of things. I may be a prophet. But the core of who I am is really a prophetic intercessor. So I had to get reduced back to, you don't have to go everywhere to travel to preach. You can stay home where you're really, really, really called to in this season and revisit the place that you came forth in the spirit when you were a believer early on. Prophetic prayer.
Yeah.
And that's the calling, I believe, because the shepherd over this house, the senior shepherd, there's an impartation here for that because he walks in that. And you have a specific sphere of authority aside from your own families or your workplace that you are guarding the gates of your region.
Come on,
yes, so year of necessary interruptions this year. Like, who would have thought? January 6th didn't go the way that most people expected. That was an interruption in their lifestyle. That was an interruption in their mind. That was a whole interruption in what? America, because everybody, they presumed they knew what was going to happen. And we had a surprise. There are more surprises on the horizon. And the only way that we will be able to navigate through it is to discern the movement of the wind. So, okay. And you know, everybody's talking about the new church era. We're still in baby steps. We're still cultivating what it means to step into a new era. We know that we're out of the church age. We've been talking about that for a long time. We're in the kingdom age now. But now we're in not even so much an age as an era. What does that look like? We get to define it. You know, all through the Bible, in the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth, waiting to create. Singularly, the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth, waiting to create. In Genesis, in Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." So all through the Bible, the Spirit of God, God is looking for a people that he can co-labor with. So we're it. We're not passively following like baby sheep Jesus. 22:17. Many of us have this picture that we're just holding Jesus's hand and we're following him. No, we're side by side with him, walking as he walked, hearing his voice, friendship with God, working alongside him, co-laboring with the Spirit of God, Jesus, Father, Son, Spirit, three in one. Don't meet me later and say, I don't believe in the Trinity. We are co-laboring with the Spirit of God. See, he was always waiting for a people, and we're it. We're the co-laborers. I'm not saying they didn't co-labor with God in other generations or in other times, but there's something about this time that has never been seen on the earth. So we have got to revisit the school. We have got to go back, not go back to school, but revisit. Hey, when I came into the kingdom, I really didn't know I signed up for this. But when we came into the kingdom, we were invited into it. And we choose to take up our pen and our pencil, our journals, our Bible, our ears, and to revisit. School me. Walk alongside me. Teach me your ways, O God, because I know there is safety in your presence. In the Old Testament, there were cities of refuge.
Right, that's right.
I don't have this written down. I can't remember. Cities of refuge. And wherever they went, they were safe.
That's right.
So you're safe in the will of God. God is waiting for his bride to know who she is. Don't let the earth say, this is who you are right now. You're a churchgoer, you're a Christian, you're a Republican, you're this, you're that. He calls us his beloved.
Right.
He calls us his sons and his daughters. He calls us his friends. Simplify. Purify, but magnify his name. So, God, this is where I'm coming down to. The word for this house is to define your gates. And I believe as a church body, you've probably already recognized that God has called you to the city because you're here, called you to the region. Whether it's Martinsville, whether it's the state of Virginia, I almost sense that there is a state of Virginia gatekeeping here. Does that bear witness with you? The state. If some of you can't identify with that, it doesn't mean that you're not part of it. You don't always have to know and define your position. But simply because you're here in this house, you're partaking of the vision of the house, then you're called to be a gatekeeper over the state. What is a gatekeeper? They simply control access points. And you spoke about this before. The gatekeeper lets you in, right? The gatekeeper lets you in. When I was at that place, that was my gate. See, people went through the gate, they bombarded, they went through the gate, and because many of them did that, many of them were injured. Many of them got pepper sprayed. Now, was that the suffering of Jesus, or they broke through the barrier of what they were to guard? That's just a thought, it's not a judgment. So, being led by the Spirit to your gate. In 2 Samuel 6, Obed-Edom, they were the first gatekeepers of God's presence. For 3 months, David sent them there. Let's look at that for a minute. 2 Samuel 6. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. Now it was told, King David said, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So they were given charge over that for 3 months to guard the presence of the Lord. And because of that, God blessed their house. There's a blessing over your guardianship over your gates. Do you know mothers and fathers are the gatekeepers over their children? And you get to define, you get to decree, you get to intercede, you get to fast that your offspring do not break through the barriers. But if they break through the barriers, there's favor still on you because in the spirit, perhaps the boundaries have been let loose a little bit, but because you hold the key, right? Gatekeepers have keys to permit and to deny. Because you hold the key, there's a lot of authority that you have in the spirit. And some people say, oh, my kids are over here, my kids are over there. The borders may be stretched out a little bit, but they're still within the gates in the spirit. They really are. I've seen this firsthand, and I'm sure many of you have seen this firsthand, that your kids only go so far. It's like there's an invisible gate realm, and it may be stretched out a little bit because of the mercy of God, but you have the key. You're the gatekeeper over your kids. You're the gatekeeper when you are given a position at work, and they say, this is the key to your office. Well, I look at that in the spirit. Yeah, for this season, I'm a gatekeeper over this position. Like Sandy was just given, she had to move her building. She works for a law firm. They positioned her high up. What floor are you on? The 9th floor. She says, wow, I can see Pilot Mountain from where I am. And I can look out. Yeah, he expanded her vision. Her gate was extended. And her position changed. So for this season, however long she's there, she has the key to permit or to resist. Amen. So we get to define what comes in our sphere, and we get to deny things that don't need to be there, the evil. And just think about this. All the gatekeepers that have surrounded the United States in prayer for years. Right. I cannot believe that we have battled for nothing. Right. I, too, do not care who is in office. As long as they represent life, as long as they represent things that are in the heart and the character of God, right? I'm not a Trumpite. I'm a priest. You're priests and kings unto God. We have to reestablish our identity as people and not lose it because the news is telling us thus and so. Not lose it because of pressure of other people. Not lose it because, oh, so-and-so, the prophet's got it wrong, and now I don't know who I believe. Don't fall into the hands of Jezebel.
That's right.
The word of the Lord is still the word of the Lord, and we are still learning. God is still purifying the prophetic movement, and he's teaching us, as we discussed yesterday, that where many of us have missed it a little bit, is because interpretation skills are still being learned.
Right.
It's not so much the prophetic. It's not the revelation. We have got to submit ourselves to Holy Spirit to allow him to define how to interpret revelation. So if you want, right now, I just feel like the Lord's on that. Father, I just release right now, God, that they will begin to pursue understanding, which is the spirit of interpretation, God, that they will submit themselves to the spirit of the living God, to allow him to define how to interpret revelation, dreams, visions, prophetic words, God. Lord, for this season, I feel like the Lord is putting a restraint on our lips because we've got to cultivate understanding. So, Father, we've got to walk in understanding. We've got to define the seasons of the Lord, God. Let us look at the total picture, God. And, God, I pray, God, that Jezebel comes down where Jezebel would like to mock the prophets, to send us hiding into a cave, to bring oppression and depression upon those that have a prophetic edge. So, Father, we resist Jezebel because we're going to align ourselves with the Spirit of God where there is protection and favor. And we are going to discern when to battle, discern when to step back. Walk in Ecclesiastes 3, discerning the times, God. There's a time for peace and there's a time for war. It doesn't mean the time for war can be an extended period of time. We can war for a day and the next day grant, like today is a day of peace. Today is a day of respite from the chaos in the earth. Today is a day of refreshing. This day, what is it, the 10th? The 10th of January is a day of respite.
It's a day of Sabbath, not because the earth says Sunday is a day of Sabbath, because we know by the Spirit that the Spirit of peace is in this house, and you're invited to partake of it to refresh you for whatever war lies on the horizon.
Right.
Don't look at it like, oh, the earth, now we're in war, we're going to be communists, and we're going to be... You don't know what tomorrow holds. That's why more than ever, we've got to align ourselves with the Spirit of God. We've got to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans 8, those who live by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. We have defined ourselves as sons and daughters, and many of us have not cultivated life in the Spirit to its fullness. We have bits and pieces of it. We can extract a little bit here, a little bit there. We're on a fast, we can define it. We're in church, we can define it. But boy, Monday comes and you have a conversation with your boss and he fires you, or you have a fight with your sister-in-law or your kids or whatever. And then how quick we lose our peace, right? So let our lives be defined by peace. Let us stay. You know, I used to say there's the permissive will of God and the perfect will of God. And I don't know what those lines are today, because I believe that when I am in him and he's in me, God, that I can live in peace. That it's not I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. That's double-mindedness. We're not double-minded. The Spirit of God just, you know, put your hand on your belly and just stir up life in the Spirit. That's why when we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we were given a prayer language. And as you align your prayer language, what happens is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're aligning yourself with heaven. Why? Because James tells us that your mouth is like the rudder of a ship. So when you pray in the Spirit, you're aligned in heaven. That's why it says that you build up yourself in your most holy faith. In Jude 19, building, or is it 21? 19, I think. Build up. I'm not perfect with addresses, but that's a religious spirit sometimes. I got to get every little thing perfect. I know it's in Jude, and I think it's 19 or 20. Build up yourself. The more you do this, the more you will cultivate the alignment with the Spirit. And boy, I love now that we get to wear a mask. I can wherever I am. Oh, don't neglect or resist the mask. Don't hate the mask. Say, Lord, I'm free behind this mask. Sometimes I don't feel so free, but I am free because now I can freely move about praying in the Spirit. And I know that we could do that without a mask. But I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. They don't understand why, because Satan blinds their eyes. There's conflict between people that walk in darkness and people that walk by the Spirit. So I'm not going to put myself out there walking down Food Line or walking down Harris Teeter. They might throw me out. Whatever. People say, well, I don't care, I'm bold. Well, okay, then you be bold. That's not my MO. But in the mask, I can pray, I can praise, I can pray in the Spirit, I can sing in the Spirit, and I'm free as a bird, and I can shift atmospheres if that is my assignment. If that is within my gate, I can do that. I have authority. I remember years ago, I was on Long Island with Matt Sorger Ministries, and we were doing an outreach. And people came there from Connecticut, and they started to take authority over the weather because it started to rain. And the more they tried to take authority over it, the more it poured. And the apostle in that region came over and she said to us, they don't have authority over here.
That's right.
That wasn't their gate. So it kept raining.
That's right.
We wonder sometimes why God doesn't answer the prayers that we think.
That's right.
Stay inside of your gate and you will see the favor of the Lord. Okay, so let me see about gates. In 2 Chronicles 9:22, it says that the gates were a trusted office. That's what gates are. It's a trusted office that the Lord gives us. It's holy unto the Lord where he positions us.
What was that scripture again?
1 Chronicles 9:22. All those chosen as gatekeepers were 212. They were recorded by their genealogy in their villages. David and Samuel the seer had appointed them to their trusted office.
Wow.
right? David is known as what? Prophet, priest, and king. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. So in the New Testament, when he gives us his sphere of authority that I'm going to show you in 1 Corinthians 10, we have all been given a sphere of authority. Every one of us. No matter if you believe that you're in a place that you're not necessarily happy with at the moment, you could be divinely placed there if you'll discern it. Because it doesn't always come with... sometimes the Lord puts you in hard places. And I believe that we're going to see some of that on the earth. We're going to see it around us, but we will be kept safe within our gates. I think what happens is the body of Christ, they're like little rats sometimes that are behind, not the rats, but we're like little, we're zealous and we're behind this gate. And then when something opens up, woo, we all got to run out. Got to run to this conference. Got to run here. Got to run there. We go in momentum with each other and we left other areas unprotected. That's why you have to discern where you are, where you need to be. There are times you need to, there are times I need to just stay home. And I will recognize that. The other day, like the last thing, I work part-time in a Christian school because God positioned me there as a gatekeeper for 2.5 years. I didn't understand it because I had been in traveling ministry. They do let me travel. They've been wonderful. But I'm like, God, why do I have the gate now in a Christian school working with kids that I had not worked with in over 25 years? Had I not been walking and discerning that that was God's will for me at the time, I would have said, I'm not going back. Doesn't make sense to me. We define ourselves sometimes by what makes sense or what we don't like. So I said, I recognize that God sent me there. And when I am there, I have peace. I have joy. I have provision. I am seeing God move, though I did not understand it. And I did not even know if I wanted to do it. But by my spirit, I discerned it, though it made no sense to me. And some of us are still caught in the trap of trying to make sense out of God's supernatural ways. God doesn't want to make sense, but he wants us to be sensitive to his voice and to his spirit. We reason, we rationalize, we think. And so much of it is influenced by people we are around, what we read, what we partake of in our eyes and our ears, as I said before. That's why it's so key to surround yourself with people that will build you up, that are not competitive, that will come alongside, just like Holy Spirit. He comes alongside to help us in our weakness. So it is with brothers and sisters that God puts in our life, that they are a blessing. They add to us. We're not always ministering, sowing into them. You can for a season. It's a give and take. But when you're drained and you lose your peace and you feel obligated because you're a counselor to talk to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that has chaos in their life, and then it comes on you, and you can't even function now because it's on you. God, right now, we are not living by obligation. Listen, cancel obligation in your life. Obligations. Just do assignments. Spirit-led assignments and cancel obligation. That'll help you with your list that you make for 2021. Look at the things. Make lists. Say, Lord, is there fruit in this? Nope, cross it off. Am I obligated to do this? I'm not saying don't be responsible. What I'm saying is, do I feel obligated? Do I feel bound to it? False sense of responsibility. Yeah, you do that and you're going to have an ulcer and then you're going to end up in prayer line for healing. So God wants us right now to define our gates, to stay in peace, to know your sphere of authority. Be defined by that. And we know Isaiah 22:2 says the key of David, what it does. It opens up doors that no man can shut and it closes doors that no man can open. And because Jesus is inside of us, the King of glory, Christ in us, the hope of glory is on the inside of us. We've been given keys, but the keys are only given to the gates that he's given us. Can you picture us all in the same place? You know, you think about the book of Acts. When the apostolic authority and the apostolic movement first started in the book of Acts, what did they do? They went out to various places. Some of the places where Paul ended up, prison. But the prophet said, you're going to end up, right?
No,
not in that, in another context. I'm all confused. Anyway, I didn't have that one written down. But the prophet warned Paul not to go because trouble awaited him. Agabus. Did Paul go?
Well, he did, yes. When he got warned not to, yes.
Mm-hmm. So the thing is, yeah. So he was in the will of God in the prison. Why? Because if he wasn't, the angel didn't have to rescue him.
Right.
He probably learned more in prison. Sometimes you learn more in those places of restriction. Like last year, we can curse Fauci. We can say all this stuff. We have judgments against everything. I tend to look at last year as the sequestering of God. Because not that that was my survival mode. It was just that I knew that God used it in my life. I could have went around and I could have written letters to the governor, open this, open that. Some of you may be called to do things like that. I was happy as a lark because I revisited the passion of my life, which was prayer. And I got to connect with many, many, many prayer groups. And that thing busted out. Intercession arose during last year. I remember I went and I prophesied in the beginning of COVID. I went to church. I prophesied. And I said, God is raising up 1 million intercessors. I had no idea really what was on the horizon that we were going to be locked in for months on end. I thought it was a couple of weeks. See, I knew in part. I knew in part, and I actually put it on my page. I said, this is going to brush over so quickly. Well, now that I look back, I probably wanted it to presumptuously say it was the word of the Lord. And sometimes we have to retract things. That's why God right now wants us to be slow to speak. Be slow to be angry and be quick to listen. Some of us have to put a restraint on our lips. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God. 1 Kings 17. All right, so we got that about the sphere of authority. 1 Corinthians 10:13 speaks about we have been all assigned a sphere of authority. I know some of you are thinking, what's my sphere? It's where you have grace. It's where you see the hand of God. It's where you see fruitfulness. It's where you have peace. It's where you can hear from God. Define it by the fruit. I have peace in this little seat here in front of the back of the Capitol. I'm not budging. I didn't care if it was 25 degrees. I didn't care if the wind was blowing in my face. I didn't care if the multitudes were on the other side listening to the president. I didn't care if I didn't do the Jericho March, because that was my place. That's where my peace was. That's where my provision was. Wasn't all easy, but peace guarded my heart. At one point, I was being tempted because they said, let's go around the front so we can sneak a peek and see what's happening on the other side. I never went there. I went maybe a few steps. I said, I'm going back. You see what I'm trying to get at? Are you receiving something from this? Is the Lord defining to you, perhaps, this is my gate? This is where I am called to be a gatekeeper. Yes.
What was the reference in
1 Corinthians? Let me see. 2 Corinthians 10:13. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
2 Corinthians 10:13. This is the limits of Paul's authority. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed to us. See, Paul had a lot of authority in a lot of places. Ruth had a lot of authority on the threshing floor. That's where she saw favor and change. So we have to go back and see the men and the women of the Bible, where they prospered, where they flourished, where God moved and released favor to them, where they were able to just see the hand of God move. It was in his will. So let's restrain our speech a little bit more than we have been as a people. That's not a correction. I just feel like that I'm saying that in the atmosphere. What I want to pray for now is for the soul of our nation to be restored to it. The soul of our nation right now, the heart, the soul of our nation right now is under attack. I want to look at 1 Kings 17. This is where Elijah, 1 Kings 17, in verse 17, Elijah revives the widow's son. It happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. Think about this as the United States. So much sickness and weakness right now in the heart of our nation, the heart of our nation, that almost there's no breath left in the nation. So she said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to bring my son to remembrance and kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." The prophetic voice right now should be the voice of Elijah. Give me your nation. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, you have brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son." And one translation said that he was probably unconscious, but I don't know. That's just hearsay. And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him and him revived. So let's just stand up right now and picture ourselves, the spirit of Elijah right now. Elijah was a man just like us, right? And he released rain and rain was held back. So however we want to do it, we're looking at our nation. We're looking at the nation looks like it's dying, like there's no life, no breath. There's chaos. There's confusion. There's disillusionment. There is disappointment. And we're lifting up. Just lift up our nation. Say, "Lord, let the soul of our nation revive, come back to life. The soul of the United States of America. The soul of our nation, the north, the south, the east, and the west. The plains, the mountains, God, the beaches, the borders. Oh, the heart of our nation, come back. Come back, the life, the soul of our nation, God. We are gatekeepers, yes, because we live here. We have a voice. We have the voice and the sound of Elijah coming out of our mouth to decree that the soul of our nation be revived. And when the prophets begin to prophesy, what happened? The widow looked at Elijah and said, "I know that you're a man of God, that the word of the Lord is true." So let the prophets, instead of competing and talking dates, oh, instead of saying what'll happen over here, what the Republicans are doing over here, the real issue is the soul and the heart of America. Father, I thank you for the heart of America. Come back to life. Oh, CPR in America. There's a faint breath. We're seeing a little pulsation. Take on the spirit of Elijah this year. It's the spirit of Elijah that needs to be seen on the earth again. Where is the God of Elijah? Praying and interceding for the soul of our nation. the heart of our nation, God. Oh, one nation under God. That's our heart. One nation under God. I think this sounds crazy, but the Lord is leading me to do this. Let's do it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and freedom for all. Justice! Justice! Justice for all. Oh, hama ba 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 de 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 de. Ha ya ba 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 de 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 ya ba. Oh, ya 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 de 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 ya ba ya. Oh, I hear the Lord say that from this point on, every word that you sing, every scripture that is read, every word that is preached will have the breath of God on it. It'll have the spirit of Elijah behind it, because the soul, the heart of God, as you have aligned even with the heart of this nation that is God's nation, as you have aligned with it, your breath, as it comes out, it may come out in other words, it may come out in other songs, it may come out in poetry, it may come out in what is written, articles, it may come out in preaching. It'll have the breath of God in it to restore the sphere of authority that we have been all given. And because we are born here, we all have been given the gate to the nation. There are other specific places that we have been given in our homes. They're more specified. But you have a covenant with God. And a written document. See, that's what a covenant is. It's a written document that you were born in the United States of America. So in essence, we have a covenant with our land. God always gave land. He wanted us to steward the land that he gave. We have land given to us. The United States. That's why right now we've got to break the restrictions of travel. But it's okay. Right now we're sequestered where we are. But we don't want to live in this place. See, what they're trying to do is shut the mouth of Elijah, set our feet from going on soil and blessing the land and reclaiming the land. So we have to discern the season. Are we being restrained because God is restraining us intercession? Or do we resist and break through the barriers of the enemy because God wants us to go forward and to bless the land? It takes a finite, it's almost like a finite, intricate pen. Like sometimes tools, my husband has all these tools. Sometimes I can use the bigger ones because they're easier. But those little ones that fix eyeglasses, they don't work. Because it's so finite. And that's what God wants us to do now. He wants us to be so specific, finite tool. He wants us to be so trained and skilled in discerning his will. The skillfulness, the discernment. So I'm going to pray for everybody. Sandy, come join me for that skillfulness. And I'm going to believe that God, by his spirit, is going to hand you out new, sharp threshing instruments. But they're going to be very skilled. Very specific, a tool for a specific thing. Yeah, that's what God wants to do. Today he wanted to refine our ability to discern his voice, to revisit being schooled, to bless the soul of the nation, to stand and recognize your gate. So now we're going to pray for impartation, to take on being schooled by the Spirit and to allow yourself to begin to use tools that maybe you didn't want to touch upon before because you didn't need them. But now this is what we really need.